Today's Shin the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Aleph. We'll be answering 7, finish off the 5th parak and start the 6th parak. We begin 3 lines from the top, Lamed Aleph, at the 2 dots. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Isidore Mel, Yitzhak Ben Shmuel Halevi, and also Le'ili Nishmas Harry Laub, Tzvi Ben Yol. Harry, Olav HaShalom, was a member of our Shia for several cycles, and the Ezra Hashem, all the Nishmas we learned from, should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, as I said, we pick up Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, the 2 dots, 3 lines from the top, where we quote the Mishnah. Bo Bayom, Dorish Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkina, Shelo Ovat Eov Vechule. So in the Mishnah, we had a discussion as to how did Eov serve HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Eov, according to everybody, was a great tzaddik. The question in the Mishnah was, did he serve HaKodesh Baruch Hu out of Yira, or did he serve HaKodesh Baruch Hu out of Ava? Now Rashi points out, it'll be a very interesting point. Rashi in Dibur HaMaskel, Li'alofim Li'ohavoy, which we haven't yet read yet, but will point out momentarily, says, the Hanu that we're talking over here, the Avas, Ava and Yira, is not the typical Ava and Yira that we had been speaking about, for example, previously on Daf Chav Beis. He said there, the Ava and Yira that we said are not on the highest level. Lifrosh mi Ava, Lifrosh mi Yira, we had said that a person who separates himself from doing averas because of his love of reward or his fear of punishment, that's a lower level than the Ava and Yira that we're referring to over here. The Ava and Yira that we're referring over here is Avas Hamakom Umiyiroso Shemoro Godol Umutal Alabrios. Here it's you're doing it because of your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because your love for reward. And you're doing it out of your awe and respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, true Yirah Shemayim, as opposed to afraid that if you do this Aveira, you're going to get punished and go to Gehenna. So the question of whether Eov served out of Ava and Yirah is a different question than the typical Ava and Yirah aspects Rashi says that we talk about. In any event, that was the Machlokas that we had brought down in the Mishnah. Yishuv ben Hyrcanus said that Eov served HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love, which seemingly is a higher level than out of Yira, which we now will discuss. We brought Psukim to support that. The first pasuk we brought, we said it wasn't clear why that was. We'll go through the Psukim again now, so we'll see them in the Gemara. And then we brought down a definitive pasuk that answered the question. So the Gemara says, look at the words in the pasuk. The lech say, high, low. Look at the word low. Is it written ibalamit, aleph? Is it written with the word low as in not or no, ksiv? Then it's lohu. Then it means no. And ibalamit vav ksiv, then it means low. With lamid vav, who? He. It means that he does serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, the pasuk that we had in the Mishnah, hein yiktuleini lo ayachel. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to kill me, lo. Either lamid aleph or lamid vav. Lo ayachel. Now, it either means to him, lo lamed vav, I would look forward to still, or lo ayachel, lamed aleph, I would not look forward to him anymore. In other words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes me, if he kills me, I either would still want him, or I would not want him. So the Gemara says, well, see how the word is spelled. Is it spelled with lamed aleph, or is it spelled with lamed vav? We'll know the answer to whether he would still serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he loves him, or he would not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he was being killed or punished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says that implies the kol hecha d'chsiv b'lamid aleph lohu. You're telling me then if the word is written lamid aleph, it automatically means no. But I'll show you a pasuk from Yeshayahu where that's not true. The pasuk there is written with a lamid aleph. Behold, sorasam lo lamid aleph, but we pronounce it lo lamid vav sor me'alecha. So in that pasuk it says in all of their troubles lo tsar. Now, d'chsiv b'lamid aleph. The pasuk is spelled there, lamed aleph. So if you're telling me in that situation, behold, sorasam, and all of the troubles, lo tsar, I am not with you in trouble, so then the word lamed aleph means not. So the hochanami in this pasuk, the lohu, are you telling me in this pasuk it means not as well? That Eov is saying, if you kill me, I will not look forward to you, I will not yearn towards you. So if that's the drasha, then v'chitei ma'achanami, if that, okay, you want to tell me that that's what it means, so then how do you explain the following pasuk? V'achsev umalach panav hoshiyam. This pasuk in Yeshayah clearly cannot be understood as not with you in trouble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is telling Klai Yisrael, kol batzor asam, I am with you in trouble. Because keep on reading the pasuk. The pasuk says, v'chol tzor asam lo tzor, umalach panav hoshiyam ba'ava so. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent an angel to go and save them, to be with them, to show his love. So therefore, how can you tell me that the word, even though it's spelled lamed aleph, it means no, I'm not with you in your tzara, when the pasuk clearly says that it means lamed vav, even though it's spelled lamed aleph. It's a ksivu kri. Ella, Lav, mashma hachi, u'mashma hachi. So Maharan quotes the word lav. In any event, it means the lamed aleph can sometimes be pronounced lamed aleph, no, or sometimes it can be pronounced lamed vav, with I'm with you. So therefore, you can't say for the word. Therefore, it was shakul, it wasn't clear. What did the pasuk mean in Iyov when it said, lu yiktileini lo ayachel? So even though it's spelled there with a lamed aleph, it could mean lamed vav, it's a ksivu kri, and therefore we don't have a raya. That's why we have to bring the other pasuk to teach us that Iyov worshipped HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. Now, Tanya, we learned in another brayso, Reveir Omer, Nema Yirei Elokim be'Iyov, Nema Yirei Elokim be'Avraham. It uses the expression, Yirei Elokim, a person who fears God. It says that expression in regards to Iyov, and it says that expression in regards to Avraham Avinu. So now, by Avraham Avinu, we know, Ma Yirei Elokim, Omer be'Avraham Avinu, me'ava, so too, Af Yirei Elokim, Omer be'Iyov, me'ava. So the words are similar, Yirei Elokim, and we know by Avram it means that he is an Oev of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in addition to being a Yirei Elokim. So too, when it uses that same expression by Iyov, it must mean that Iyov was an Oev Elokim in addition to that causing him to have Yiras Shamayim. The two go hand in hand. If somebody is Oev Elokim, his love for God, so then that also will bring to him to have Yiras Shamayim. Now, how do we know? Obviously, Avram Gufei Minolim. How do we know that the Yirei Elokim by Avram also expresses or shows us that Avraham Avinu also loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Again, Rashi's point over here is critical, that it's not talking about a love of reward and a fear of punishment, but it's on a much higher madrega. Avraham Avinu and Iyov served HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of true love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Rashi had said, when we're dealing with Ava, it's Avas HaMakom, it's pure love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a child has love for his father, and the year over here is awe and fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Morah Gadol Mutal Al Abrios, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so awesome. And that's different than just being afraid of punishment. But where do we see that Avraham Avinu, who's described as Yirei Elokim, is really an Ohev Elokim? Avraham Gufo Minole. So the Pasuk tells us, Beferish Nusiv, Zera Avraham Ohavi. The Pasuk in Yeshayah refers to Avraham as Avraham Ohavi, Avraham who loved me. So therefore, we see that Avraham is an Oev Hashem, and he's described as Yirei Elokim. Mistama Iyov is also an Oev Hashem when he's described as Yirei Elokim. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question. We seem to be making the distinction. Was Iyov serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love, or, quote, only out of Yirei Shemayim? What is the difference between serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Ava or serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Yirei? So the answer is, Ika Hodetanya. The answer is based upon the following price. Rishimun Elazar Omer, Godala Osem Yava Yosemin Osem Yirei. A person is on a higher plane, a higher madrega, if he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of this pure love, than just, quote, out of this awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both are at unbelievably high madregos, but the one of Ava is even greater than one of Yirei. Why? Shazat Tolu Lielif Dar. Is that totally Lial Payim Dor? So serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Yira will prevent your children, your descendants, from being punished in a certain sort of a way for 1,000 generations. But serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this huge Ava, so that will potentially protect your descendants for 2,000 generations, twice as much. And this is based upon the Pasuk where it says, Hochoksiv la'alofim lo'havai u'shomrei mitzvosoi, the la'alofim, for 2,000 generations, you will have this protection if you are lo'havai, if you are one of those that love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'shomrei mitzvosoi, that also refers to Yira, the ohavim, so to say, are the aseis, and the shomrei mitzvosoi are those that don't do los aseis. And therefore, the la'alofim refers to l'ohavai, and then it says, v'asim siv u'lushomrei mitzosav li'elef dor. Another pasuk tells us, l'ushomrei mitzosav elef dor. So we see that the shomrei mitzosav is, quote, only l'elef dor, a huge, huge protection, whereas la'alofim is l'ohavai. Where it says, but wait a second, the pasuk that I just brought down, la'alofim la'ohavai, it also says u'shomrei mitzvosoi. So how can you tell me that it's purely 2,000 for ohavim and not also for the shomrei mitzvosoi? That's what the pasuk seemed to say. So the Gemara answers, no. Ha'il d'samich lei, v'ha'il d'samich lei. No, we have the one pasuk that says specifically that there will be 1,000 generations u'shomrei mitzvosov le'elef dor. There it says the word u'shomrei mitzvosov connected to le'elef dor. And even though it says Ohavav ul shomrei mitzvosov le'elef dor, the shomrei mitzvosov is closest to the word le'elef. And in the pasuk where we said, v'osech chesed la'alofim, Lo'ohavai, and then it said Lushomrei Mitzvosov. So in each one, the word La'alofim was close to Lo'ohavai, and the word La'elef Tor was close to Lushomrei Mitzvosov. So even though both are said by both, we connect the La'alofim with the O'ava, and we connect the Shomrei Mitzvosov with La'elef Tor. So we go to the one that it's closest to. Finally, we conclude this beautiful parak with the following. Hanu Teri Tamide Davu Yasei Kamei the Rava. The two Talmidim that were sitting in front of Rabbah, and they each told Rabbah they had a dream that night before. And we learned the Gemara in Brachos, when a person dreams certain psukim, so that's a very positive sign that those psukim are going to be what that person is, the essence of that person. So Chadam Ale, one told Rabbah, I had a dream last night, Akayun b'chalmoy, they were reading to me in my dream the following pasuk, Morav tuvcho asher tzofanto l'riecha, how great is the good, the tov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has planted away, has stored away, hidden away for those that fear him. The Chanam Alei, the other Talmud said to Rava, this was my dream. They read to me the following pasuk in my dream. Akayun v'chalamai, they read to me in my dream. V'yismuchu kol chosei boch li'olam yiraneinu. The pasuk actually continues, v'sosech olemo. I don't know why we leave that out in our Gemara. And it ends, v'yaltzu b'cha o'avei shemecha. Obviously, we're interested in the end part of the pasuk, v'yaltzu b'cha o'avei shemecha. So the first Talmud had in his dream, tzofan tu l'reyecha. The second Talmud had, o'cha o'avei shemecha. So therefore, each of them had a dream, one referring to Ava, one referring to Yira. And Rava told both of them, don't either of you worry, you both have great futures. Amalu, Rava told both of the Talmidim, Tarvaichu, both of you, Rabbonin Tzadike Gemurei Asun. Both of you are great Talmidei Chachamim, you're great Tzadikim, and Mar Miava, one of you serves HaKosh Baruch Hu Miava, Umar Miira, the one who had the puzzle from Yira, the first one, he serves HaKosh Baruch Hu out of Yira. Again, we just said, while Ava's greater than Yira, both of them are phenomenally great attributes, and we should all be zochet to serve HaKosh Baruch Hu out of both of them. Hadru Lecha Kishem Shamayim, Hadru Lecha Kishem Shamayim, Hadru Lecha Kishem Shamayim. This concludes the fifth parak, and now we start the sixth parak. Tosos questions in Dibra Masl Mishakini law, he says, Parak Zahaya Hagun Shiyehei Shana Yimura Parak Rishon. Liachar osobava the elu asuras lecho betruma. So he says our Mishnah, which is going to discuss again, going back to the kinui and stira. So he says it really belonged early in the Masechta, and only afterwards vachakoy chololishanos ketzad osalah in the previous prakim, the actual process of the sota. And Tosus concludes over here, and he says that it's a tema, avol tema, the liachar shoshana shebitkua hamayim. We just had previously huchozer likinu. We go back to the kinui. It's stira, and Tosus leaves it with a kasha. Okay, so now we begin. Misha kine liyishto, if somebody went and warned his wife, don't closet yourself away with your uncle. Now, Tosus is not going to the word Venistra, and therefore has a different way to understand this. In the next words in the Tosus, says, Hachi Garcina, Mesera Mishnah, Mishakini Lo Afilu. Now, he just deletes the word Mistra. Rashi does have this, and we'll learn this Gemara like Rashi. So if somebody warned his wife not to closet herself away with a certain man, he warns his wife, don't closet herself away with your uncle, Venistra, and she does closet herself away with your uncle, so then, Afilu Shoma Me'ov HaPoreach, then if this husband hears even from a bird that is flying, what does it mean a bird that is flying? Obviously the birds don't talk that we can understand them. Maybe Shlomo HaMelech can understand, and great Tzaddikim can understand the words of the birds, but we cannot. So what does it mean he heard from Ov HaPoreach? So Rashi explains this witness over here that we're talking about, this Ov HaPoreach, is referring to the stira. She doesn't have two witnesses that she was closeted away. She was warned with two witnesses, don't closet yourself with Yanko, but the Venistiras, Afilu Shom HaMeyof HaPorech, in other words, as Rashi points out, Lo Boy Eidus, Rabbi Lezel Taimei, he says earlier on Daf Beis, he had said that you don't require two witnesses for the Stira, Afilu Eved, Afilu Shivcha Nemonim, the Hainu Nami Ke'ov HaPorech, the Iskish Latuma, the Kulu Mehemni Bach. So he says, when referring here to the Nistera, it's referring to that there weren't two kosher witnesses, but it was even one person who was an Eved or a Shivcha who said that his wife had closeted herself with Yankel. In this situation, he has to go and divorce his wife, Yotzi. However, since he doesn't have two witnesses, the Yitin Ksuba, he has to go and give her a Ksuba. And as Rashi points out, Hilkach, Nesra love, from the fact that this one non-kosher witness said that your wife had closeted herself away with Yaakov, then Eina Rotzeh Lashkosa. Rashi says he still has the right to go and give her the Mei Hamarin if he wishes to, after just one witness. But if he chooses not to, Yotzi V'Ting Subi. He says, I don't want to be with such a person who closets himself away with a man that I told her not to. So he has the right to go and not give her the Mei Hamarin. But in that situation, he divorces her, but has to give her again. That's Rebbe Eliezer, Lishi Toso. Divri Rebbe Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees, as he did earlier. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no. Akshi Yisu v'yitnu bo mozros balavona. What does this mean? So Rashi tells us, Klomar, Mishum stira she'en bo beiz eidim enu neseris alof. He disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer. He says, if you don't have two kosher witnesses that she had closeted herself away with Yanko, then the process doesn't get off the ground. Rabbi Shula Taimei Rashi says, Dama Mashka Pishnai, that you need to have two witnesses to say that she closeted herself with Yanko in order for her to be able to drink the Mei Morim. However, Miu, however, after she closeted herself away with the two witnesses proving it that she did closet herself away with Yanko, she then goes and everybody's talking about it that she committed adultery. This is so disgusting that everybody's talking about his wife and that they're all sitting there spinning in the light of the moon. They're going and doing their talking while they're spinning their threads by the light of the moon, and everybody's talking about his wife. So then it's disgusting, and he should let his wife go and not continue to stay married to her, because the waters won't work in that situation, like we learned earlier in the first parak on Davav. The waters will only work if she's tahori, but if everybody's talking about her pretzos, so then the waters will not work on her and he has to go and divorce her. So this is the machlokas of Ibn Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua as to what constitutes a valid stira. Now, Mishnah continues and tells us what happens if Omar Eid Echod Ani Reisiyah Shenitmes. Now we're talking about after there was a valid stira, either according to Elazar with one witness, albeit not a kosher witness, or according to Yeshua, there were two witnesses. And now a person comes along, a single witness comes along and says, I saw that she in fact had committed the Aveira. So then, in that situation, as we had learned previously, and here the Mishnah reiterates it, so Omar Eid Echod Ani Reisiyah Shenitmes Lo Haisa Shosa. She's not allowed to drink Domei Hamarim at this point in time. One witness, we base it upon the drushes of the Psukim, Eid Ein La, that she doesn't have two witnesses. Eid, as we adarshan, that we adarshan again today's year, means two witnesses. When it says Eid Echod, it means one, but Eid alone means two. And it says Eid Ein Ba, so there aren't two witnesses, but there is one, so therefore she is not allowed to drink. Lo Haisa Shosa. Furthermore, below Ode, El Afilu Eved, Afilu Shivcha, Hariel and Amana. And in this situation, everybody agrees that even if that one witness is then she was actually committing adultery, so that one witness doesn't have to be a kosher witness. That could even be an Eved or a Shivcha. And not only do we say that she no longer can drink the Mei Marah, but in this situation, Afilu Afla Postla Miksubasa, they will even go and make her lose her Ksuba. So even a possible witness, albeit it's a witness that we don't suspect of lying, they're just possible liaidas for whatever the reason, but we don't suspect that they're a lying witness, so then we believe the witness and the woman can't drink the Mei Hamarim, and in fact she won't even get her ksuba. Now, the mission discusses five women that have a natural hatred towards the wife in this situation. The Gemara in Yevamos discusses this in more detail. Each of them has a dislike because of emotional, personal, or financial reasons. And these women are Chamosa, her mother-in-law. Certainly there should be love and great love between a person and his mother-in-law, a woman and her mother-in-law, but it's sometimes not the case. Unfortunately, sometimes there could be a certain dislike or a hatred because of the close emotional and personal involvement with the same man. In other words, for one of them, it's her son, and for the other one, it's her husband, and this could lead to sometimes contention. Likewise, Ubas Chamosa, the daughter of the mother-in-law, so in this situation, she may feel that from a financial point of view, this other woman is now taking things away from her side of the family, and it's going to the other side of the family, to the in-law side of the family, there could be animosity. But Sarasa, if there's a second wife, that's why they're called Sarah, they're called antagonists towards each other, because there's a natural potential animosity. We're not familiar with this because Baruch Hashem, we only have one wife, and that's the ideal way it should be. The Torah never recommended that somebody should take more than one wife. It just allowed it in certain situations. But today, from the Xera from the times of Rabbeinu Gershu and onwards, Ashkenazim, and even today almost all Sfaradim only have one wife. So therefore this Tzara concept isn't around. But a Tzara, a co-wife who is sometimes obviously going to be in a competitive situation for the husband's attention and love. So therefore there's a natural animosity between the Tzaras. The Yevimta, her sister-in-law. Now, one would ask, why would this cause an animosity? And the answer is that there's always a concern that they'll become Tzaros, because if one of the brothers were to die without children, so then the other brother would have to go do Yibam, and they could become co-wives. So the sisters-in-laws may sometimes have a natural animosity there as well, the Yevimta. And finally, Ubas Bala, if her husband had a daughter from another wife, so there's going to be a tension there as well. The stepdaughter is going to have a certain tension with her stepmother, because again, a competition for the same person's interests and also financial considerations. So all of these women are not believed to go and say that the husband has died, because they're looking to possibly get the wife of that husband to be in trouble. She'll go marry somebody else, and then the husband really is alive, and he'll come back, and Baruch Hashem, they get rid of her, she doesn't get a ksuba, and she's divorced, and she's out of the picture. So they're not believed, the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, to say that the husband has passed away. All other women are believed to say that a man passed away, a single witness, but here, these five women are not. So in this situation, the Mishnah is telling us, Harei Elu Nemanos, to say that she, in fact, had committed adultery after the Kinoi and after the Stira. However, they only are believed for the not having her drink the Mei Hamarim, but Velo Leposla Miksubasa El Shelo Tishta, only that she won't be able to drink the Mei Hamarim, but there's always a concern that they're doing this for financial benefit, and therefore the woman is entitled to still get her Ksuba, albeit she can't drink the Mei Hamarim. Now, the Mishnah tells us, Shahaya Bedin, from a pure rational point of view, we would have said that a single witness should not be believed. It's only because we have a pasuk that a single witness is believed to say that she, in fact, had committed adultery and no longer can drink the Mei Hamarim. Why is that? Shahaya Bedin, I would have said, from a logical point of view, Uma'im Edus Rishona. Edus Rishona is the Stira Edus. So if you require two witnesses for the Stira, this goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua, Uma'im Edus Rishona Shein Osar to Isserolim. That is not a permanent issue. It's only going to forbid her from being with her husband until she drinks the Mei Hamarim. Once she drinks the Mei Hamarim and it shows that she didn't commit adultery, she's back with her husband. Yet, that testimony requires two witnesses, according to Rabbi Yehoshua. So certainly, Kal v'chomer, Edus Achrona, the actual statement, the testimony, that she had committed adultery, Rachmona Lissan, doesn't it make sense? Shosar to Yisrola, which is a permanent Isser. Once you have two witnesses saying that she commits adultery, she can never go back to her husband. So Eino Din, Shalot Iskai, B'poch Mishtayim. So certainly you should need two witnesses. If the Stira, which isn't a permanent prevention of her being with her husband, requires two witnesses, and Allah has kama v'kama, then the permanent exclusion of her being with her husband, she in fact committed adultery, certainly that should require two witnesses. So that would have been the logical conclusion, Shoya Bedin. However, the pasuk tells us, Tamal Omar, the aid ain't Bob, which we darish now, she doesn't have two witnesses over there. However, there is a single witness called Edus Sheyesh Ba. As long as there's even one witness, the pasuk tells us that we accept that witness is because Raglayim Ladover, there was already a Kinoi, there was a Stira, and therefore, if there's even one witness that comes forth, it's only after Kinoi and Stira that one witness is believed. If one witness comes forward and tells the husband, your wife committed adultery, so that one witness is not believed, the husband can still live with his wife, there's absolutely no penalty whatsoever. It's only because Yesh Raglayim Ladover, there was Kinoi and there was Stira, and then one witness comes along, so the Torah said, we give credence to this one witness in this situation. Mish continues and tells us, so let's work the Kal v'chomer the other way then. Kal v'chomer li'edus rishonim miyata. So let's prove from here that a single witness should be good by the Stira, because uma'im, and we turn to Lamed Aleph from the days. If you're telling me that by edus achrona, the actual adultery witness that comes, a single witness we just said is accepted, that says, shosar to Yisraelim, which in this situation goes and forbids her to her husband forever. It's a permanent Isser. So we believe one witness, Harehi Miskayem is made Echad, as we just darshan from the Pasuk, the Gemara will darshan a little bit more. But for now, we certainly have proof from this Pasuk, the Eid Ein Ba, there weren't two witnesses, but there's one witness. So that is acceptable to prove that she committed adultery and that she's also to her husband forever. So in that situation where we accept one witness, so the Eidus Rishona, the Eidus for the Stira, she ain't no sire to Yisrael, as we pointed out, she could still drink the Mei Hamarim. It's not a permanent Isser, it's a temporary Isser. So certainly, if the Eidus that's permanently going to ask her from a husband is acceptable with one witness, shouldn't it be logical, Eino Din should the sky and be Eid Echad, that the Stira should be with one witness as well? So why don't we apply the Kal v'chomer that way? So Talmud Lomar, because we have a pasuk that says Kimotza bo ervas davar. The pasuk tells us that it is found by the woman when she, Rechman al-Hassan, has done a ervas davar, she has committed adultery. So the pasuk says that it has to be a davar. Now, we also have another pasuk called Halomer al-Pi. Now, we have the Girsa Shnayim Edim. It really be al-Pi Shnei Edim. And the whole pasuk tells us, al-Pi Shnei Edim, o al-Pi Shlosh Edim, Yakum davar. So what it's telling us here is that you require two witnesses to have in regards to a dover, an ervas dover. So we make a gzeru shava. It says over here that kimotza ba ervas dover, and we have by dover, it needs two witnesses. So malahalan al pishnayim, avkan al pishnayim. So for the stira, it tells us that you must have two witnesses, even though logically one would have said if the declaration that she is immoral is good with one witness after the Kinyan Stira, one would have said that the Stira could also be with one witness, so we have Psukim to tell us, no, that's not the case. You require, according to Rabbi Yeshua, two witnesses for the Stira, whereas you only require one witness for the actual woman to be asa to her husband and won't be allowed to drink the May Sota if after the Stira, a single witness comes along. And again, this is all based upon Psukim, and therefore the logical deductions that we would have made don't apply over here. Finally, the mission includes, if you have eight omer nitmeis, eight omer lo nitmeis, if you have one witness that comes along and says that she, in fact, Rachman al-Litzlan, after the Kinyan Stira, had committed adultery, the eight omer lo nitmeis, but one witness says she did not, or isha omeris nitmeis, one woman says she was, in fact, committing the Aveira, the isha omeris lo nitmeis, and another woman says she was not committing the Aveira. So in this situation, the Gemara will explain why, haisa shosa, we do allow us still to drink the May Sota, because we are still in a suffix situation, so we allow her to drink the May Sota. And the Gemara will explain why. Echad omer nitmeis, however, if one witness says that she was nitmeis, a kosher witness comes and says she was witness, she was nitmeis, ushnayim omer lo nitmeis, and two come along and say that she was not nitmeis. Now, how could somebody say she was not nitmeis? So the Gemara will explain that we're dealing here with a case where the two witnesses say, hey, you were with us at that time that you're saying that she committed an aveira, and we didn't see her commit an aveira. So these two witnesses are coming to negate the testimony of the first witness. So then, haisa shosa, we do allow her to go drink the May Sota in that situation. If it's the other way around, shnayim omrim nitmeis, however, two witnesses say that she did commit the aveira, v'yechad omer lo nitmeis, and one witness says, no, you were with me at that time, and I didn't see anything, I didn't see her committed aveira then, nevertheless, lo haisa shosa, we believe the two witnesses, and we don't believe the one witness in this situation, and the Gemara will explain this all in a little bit more detail. Gemara starts now and says, why did we have to go through the psukim that we did? Hi, Talmud Lomar. Why did the pasuk tell us this gzeirah shavah kimatzah ba'erva davar and apishnayim edim oshlosha edim yakum davar? Why do we do that drasha to show us that you need two witnesses? Why didn't you just say Talmud Lomar eid ein ba, that one witness is believed in regards to her committing the aveira? However, only in that situation ba. Only in the situation of the tumah after the kinoi and stira, but not below the kinoi, but not for the kinoi. There you need two witnesses. Ba over here by the tumah, we believe a single witness. However, below the stira, but not for the stira. That's what it should have said. Why did you just bring down the pasuk the eight ain ba? Why do you need the drasha ervas dava yakum dava? Someone says, no, Hachi Nami Kama. This is what the Tana is telling us over here. And you have to understand the Mishnah in the following way. The Mishnah tells us, Talmud Lomar, ba, velo bikinoi, ba, velo bistira. You're right. When it says, aid ain ba, it means that there aren't two witnesses for the tumah. There's only one witness for the tumah after the kinoi and stira. That is acceptable. But for the kinoi, you need two. For the stira, you need two. Because it says, aid ain ba, only in regards to the tumah. But it doesn't say that for the kinoi and the stira, that a single witness is good. Therefore, betumah biyamo below bikinoi below bistira. But if you have a single witness coming along without kinoi and stira and says this woman committed adultery, that's zero. The lo mehem and eid echad. We don't believe a single witness in that situation, and that's why we need the gzei rishava of yakum davar ervas davar. But how do we know that? Minolim. Ah, nemar kan davar v'nemar lahalin davar. We have yakum davar and ervas davar. So this gzei rishava davar davar malahalim mishnei edim that teaches us. You require two edim, so to over here, you need two edim. Avkan mishnei edim. Oh, so for actual declaration that the woman is also to her husband, without kinoi and stira, you require two kosher witnesses. It's only when there's kinoi and stira that were done, then the Torah gives us a special dispensation that one witness is believed after the kinoi and stira. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Eid Omer Nitmeis, one witness, or a man or a woman, had said that she was Nitmeis, and then we had said another man or a woman, respectively, had said that she was not Nitmeis. So you had a man saying she was Nitmeis, a man saying she's not Nitmeis. You had a woman saying she was Nitmeis, you have a woman saying she's not Nitmeis. So we said in both of these situations, we allow the Sota to drink the Mei Hamorim. So Gemara says, Taimo de kol matishlei. The implication is over here is because there's a contradictory witness. The first witness says that she was over the Aveira, and the second witness says she was not. So because the second witness disputed the first witness, so therefore we believe neither one of them, and therefore we're left in the suffix situation, and she drinks the Mesota. The implication being, however, halo kol machishlo, that if you had a single witness coming and saying that she, Rachmon al-Sana, committed the Aveira, then Eid Echad Mehemen. We do believe the witness. So how do we know this? Now, this is exactly the drasha that we just said, the Tanur Rabbanan, the Eid Ein Ba, Bishtayim Akos Medaber, that when it tells us that there wasn't a witness, the Eid Ein Ba, it meant there weren't two witnesses. Eid meant two witnesses, not like the simple understanding of the word. Eid means a single witness, but we darish it out. It says the Eid Ein Ba, there weren't witnesses over here. Eid means plural, and Bishnayim Akos Medaber, implying that one would be enough. As we mentioned over here, that if you had a single witness, man or a woman, a valid witness or a not valid witness, who says after the Kinyan Seira that she was Tameya, they saw her commit the Aveira, we believe that single witness. Why is that? So we go through the drasha, which we've alluded to already today, and which we mentioned previously, and now we see it inside. You're telling me the Eid Ein Ba means two witnesses weren't there, but one witness would be fine. Ato maybe Shnayim. But maybe that's not what the words mean. Maybe it says, the Eid Ein Ba, there isn't even a single witness over here. So Gemara says, no. Talmud Lomar, lo yokum Eid Echad b'ish v'gomer. The pasuk tells us that under normal circumstances, a single witness isn't good. You can't have one witness come along. You need to have two witnesses. Now it said, lo yokum Eid Echad. The word Echad seems to be extra. When it tells me you can't have a witness come along, I know that means singular. Eid means singular. Doesn't that mean Echad? So, why does the pasuk tell me Echad? It seems to be totally extraneous. So therefore, Zeh Bona'av, this is coming to teach us a general rule across all the Torah Kula, Komakum Shemar Eid. Whenever it says Eid, it always means Harei Kan Shnayim. Eid means two, unless it specifically specifies Achi Yifro L'cho HaKosuv Echad, like it did over here. Lo Yokum Eid Echad. One witness is not allowed. You require two witnesses. But the implication being, whenever it says Eid, it always means two. So therefore, when it says Eid Ein Ba, it means there are two witnesses attesting to her committing adultery. But if one witness attests to her committing adultery after the Kinyan Seira, we believe that one witness. The Amar Rachmana, Treles Ba Elachad. And it also has to be, Hilo Nispasa, that she did this willingly. If she was forced, so then even the one witness says that she was forced and she committed the Aveira, so then that wouldn't answer it to her husband, unless, of course, Nebuch, the husband, was a Kohen. So then in that situation it would. But under normal circumstances, the husband's not a Kohen, so then if she was Rachman al-Islan raped, so then it wouldn't answer it to her husband. But if she wasn't Nispasa, if she wasn't assaulted, so then a single witness would make her Asura to her husband after Kinui and Stira. Now, if one witness is believed in this scenario, so now the Gemara questions, wait a second, you said if one witness came along and said she was Tmeya, but then another witness came along and said she was not Tmeya, we still allow her to drink. Well, why should that be the case? After all, the first witness came along and said that she had committed adultery. So how could the other one contradict her? V'olamar Ula, Ula told us, once we accept a single witness, wherever the Torah gave credence to a single person giving testimony, so then, Harei Kan, you have a halachic situation as if it was Shnayim. So therefore, this one witness is considered Harei Kan Shnayim, as if there were two. And therefore, it's as if you now have two witnesses that said that she had committed adultery, the Ein Baruch Shel Echad, and now when the second witness comes along and says, no, she didn't commit adultery, Ein Echad, Ein Baruch Shel Echad, B'Mokum Shtayim. We can't count that as being worth anything. So how come our Mishnah says that if one says she committed adultery, one says she didn't commit adultery, we still let her drink the Me'amarim? It's as if two people said that she had committed adultery, and then the one shouldn't be able to contradict that. So Gemara says, you're right. Ula's opinion actually is, Ula's the one that brought this rule. Well, Omar Ula, Tani, you have to change the words in the Mishnah to say, Lo Eisa Shosa, exactly like I just said, that when the first witness comes along and says she committed the immorality she committed, Rechman, it's not adultery. So in that situation, we believe that single witness as if it was two. And then when the other witness comes along and says, no, she didn't, we don't believe the second witness. And therefore, lo haisa shosa. Ula changes around the gears of the Mishnah, the chenom Rav Yitzchak, also lo haisa shosa. Rav Yitzchak said the same thing. We wouldn't allow her to drink in that scenario. But Rav Chiya amar haisa shosa. But Rav Chiya leaves the Mishnah the way we have it, and therefore, Rav Chiya seems to be not agreement with Ula's statement. So therefore, the Gemara questions, Rabbi Chiya kashed Ula. Rabbi Chiya doesn't agree with Ula's statement that once we accept a single witness, so we consider them like Shnayim. So obviously, Rabbi Chiya doesn't agree with Ula's statement. So the Gemara answers, lo kashed. No, it's not a stira. The two cases are talking about different scenarios, and in fact, Rabbi Chiya does agree with Ula's statement. In general, when we do accept a witness as a single witness, we accept it like two, and therefore one can't go and negate it. But in this situation, lo kasha, kama vasachas, in our Mishnah, we're dealing with the witnesses coming at the same time. So we didn't accept the first witness, and therefore counts like two, that came at the same time. And that's why Rav Chiya says, shosa, in this situation, two witnesses are coming at the same time. One doesn't have more believability than the other. We don't consider one like Shnayim, whereas Ula's statement that once the first person comes alone, we give him an emunus as if he was shtayim, then the second witness can't come along and negate that. So therefore, kan bezeh acharzeh, when you're dealing with one coming after the other, so the first one is given a certain believability, and the second one then can't negate that because the first one is given the believability of two. The Gemara now questions Rav Chiya. It says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Ein omer nit meis ushnayim omerim lo nit meis. If you have a witness that comes along and says that the woman never had committed an aveira, but then two come along and say, lo nit meis. So then, haisa shosa, do we do allow her to drink in that situation? The two witnesses negate the first one. Implication being, however, ho chad v'chad, there was one witness against one witness, lo haya shosa, tiyufta der Chiya. Then it seems that Rav Chiya is not correct. Our Mishnah seems to say that if they were one against one, we wouldn't allow it to drink, whereas Rav Chiya had said, our Mishnah says that if it's one against one, we do allow it to drink. So how would Rav Chiya respond to that? Tiyufta de Rav Chiya. So Rav Chiya would answer, Amalach Rav Chiya, L'taymech, Emosefa. Wait a second, you have the same problem that I do. Keep on reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah then says, Shnayim omer nitmeis. If two come along and say that she was tmeya, V'yachar omer lo nitmeis, so then lo eshasos. We, of course, don't let her drink. But the implication from that is it was one against one. Ha'chad b'chad, in fact, ha'yisa shosa. So the reisha of the Mishnah seems to contradict the save of the Mishnah by these implications. So therefore, neither of those two implications can be correct. Elo, what must you say? Elo, kulo bipsule edus kamri. We're dealing over here with both of them being dealing with people that are not kosher witnesses. And this goes in accord to Rav Nechemiah. Now, we have two interpretations of what Rav Nechemiah says. The first one is Rav Nechemiah, the Tanya, Rav Nechemiah holds as follows. Rav Nechemiah omer, kol makum she'amina Torah edechod, holach acharov deos, v'osu shnei noshim b'ish echod, kishnei anoshim b'ish echod. So the first understanding we have of Nechemiah is as follows. Wherever the Torah allowed a single witness to be believed, so then we look at the majority opinion if we have conflicting evidence. Halach acharov deos. You go after the majority. And therefore, if you had two women coming along, v'asu shtei noshim b'ish echad, they treated the testimony of two women against that of even one man, kishnei anoshim b'ish echad, like it was two men against one man. And therefore, when we accept a witness that's not normally a kosher witness, so then we view the majority ruling over here. If there are two against one, we view it as two against one, even though the two are the women and the one is the man. And that is what Rav Nechemiah is telling us, and therefore the Mishnah is talking about bipsule edus, and therefore you just look at the majority. If it's one against two and then two against one, you go follow the majority. So you follow the two, you follow the two in both situations. Now, that's the first understanding of Rav Nechemiah. In other words, even if the first person was a man that came along and then two women came along, we would believe the two women to negate that which the man had said. And similarly, if there were two witnesses that came along that were women and then one man came along afterwards and negated that, so we would still believe the two women. And she wouldn't be allowed to drink in that scenario. And again, we're talking here, as we pointed out previously, the witness or witnesses that are saying that she was not Tameya aren't saying that they absolutely attest that she never was Tameya. They're just saying at the time that the witness or witnesses who said that she was Tameya occurred, that Tumah occurred, they're saying we were with that witness or witnesses at that time and we did not see that occurring. Okay, that's the first version of Rav Nechemiah. The Ikud, the Amri, others explain that Rav Nechemiah said as follows. Kol hecha da'osa eid echad kosher meikari. If a single kosher witness comes along and testifies, so then we accept that, and then even if 100 women were to come along, 100 non-kosher witnesses were to come along, afilu neya nashim, we wouldn't look at the majority. We'd say once we have the single kosher witness that comes along, so then if you have even 100 possible witnesses that come along, non-kosher witnesses that come along, we treat them as equivalent. And we turn to Lamed Beis Mud Aleph, Ochamai Iskin, what are we talking about? Kigon de'asoi isha meikara. Let's say, for example, a woman came along first and testified that the Nebuch, the Sota, had in fact committed the Aveira. And then two other women came along and testified that she in fact did not commit the Aveira. So then, the Tartzel, the Rebbe Chaim Yehochi, would explain Rebbe Chaim as follows. Wherever the Torah believes a single witness, so then you follow the majority opinion. And they made it in this situation that if there was two women and one versus one woman, we view that as two men versus one man. So therefore, we believe the majority. We believe the two against the one. Just like you believe the two men against the one man, you believe the two women against the one woman. However, I will stay noshim b'yishecha, but if it was two women and then one man, so kipalga upalga dummy. Then we view it as 50-50. We view it as an even split. As Rashi points out, klomar, kichad v'chad, it would be as if there was one against one. V'ibavasa achasasu, if they came together, oki treile b'hadei chad, v'okmei asveika. If they were all coming at the same time, then we view it as the two women as considered like one, and the one man as considered as one, and we would leave it as a sofek, and therefore she could drink. But if they came one after the other, the Amina Torah called them, therefore the Torah believed the first one that came along, the Yosef Bereisha, who comes along first, that person now counts as two. And then the second two that come afterwards, only counting as one. And therefore, it's one against what we had already considered two. But if there were two that are coming and saying she was tveya, they'd echad kosher omer lo nitmeis, and then a single kosher witness comes along and said that she wasn't tveya, ha'isa shosa, we would still allow her to drink in that situation, because d'chichad v'chad ninu. In that situation, it's considered like one versus one, and therefore the suffix still is in existence, and therefore she would be allowed to go and drink. And our mission would say she doesn't drink would be in a scenario where you had the one witness who came along first that was possible, and now you have two afterwards, and therefore it's two against one. Now, the way that we explain this, it seems to be a little bit duplicative. The tarte bipsule edus lomli. Why do we need to say this twice in regards to bipsule edus? We seem to be saying first that you follow the majority. And then we seem to be saying that you follow the majority. So what difference does it make if in the first case the majority says that she wasn't Tmeya, and the second case the majority says that she was Tmeya? Either way, we're following the majority. It seems to be duplicative. Why are you telling it to me twice? No. So the word says the Chiddush is no mild him. I might have thought that when did we follow the majority? That's only if we're going to end up with a chumra. However, if it's going to be a kula, volukula, then lo azlinon, then maybe we don't follow the majority opinion and we leave that situation also luchumra. The Chiddush over here is that we follow the majority opinion, whether it leads to a chumra or whether it leads to a kula, according to the second understanding of Rabbi Nechemya. With this, we conclude the sixth parak. Hadron lechem ishakine, hadron lechem ishakine, hadron lechem ishakine. And Yitz Hashem, tomorrow we start the seventh parak. An unusual situation that we did an entire parak today. Baruch Hashem. With this, we conclude today's shiur.